Treat Dad this Father's Day with great gifts from Menards. From levels, nailers, and drills to complete any project, to tool chests, recliners, and grills, we've got the perfect gifts to make this Father's Day one to remember. Stop by your local Menards today and save big money on gifts for Dad. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Down on Manek, and here we go. Manek circling around, slipped underneath. They go to Love. Love's going to be the one to take it. Puts up the shot. It's off! The game is over! And Kansas completes the biggest championship comeback all time.
Hard to believe that was the biggest comeback in NCAA title game history. But it was. Kansas down 16 to UNC late in the first half, down 15 at halftime, rallies 72-69 victory. Bill Self gets his second national title, and it's the Kansas Jayhawks winning a title, the second straight Big 12 title. Best conference of college basketball? I think you got to make that argument that right now. That is for sure. I'm Paul Gallant, no Vanessa. She is up in Indianapolis with her family. We're wishing her the best, her dad the best. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The conversation on the table is the best comeback in sports history. But guess what, guys? Tonight, our first Sugarland Space Cowboys broadcast is tonight. And as part of our partnership with Sugarland Space Cowboys, we want to tell you about all these games. And the first one is against the Sacramento Rivercats. What the hell is a Rivercat? Rivercat. Google.com/Rivercat. 8:35, the action starts right here. ESPN 92.5. And if you want to see the Sugarland Space Cowboys schedule, MILB.com/Sugarland. So there you go. Rivercats. Space Cowboys. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be hard for me to get over that they're not the Skeeters. I thought the Skeeters was an awesome nickname. I really did. Space Cowboys is cool, but I keep on thinking about that weird movie that came out back in, what, like 2000 with Clint Eastwood and I think Robert Duvall. It was essentially like a version of like the bucket list, except for, hey, let's send these old guys into space. Are they going to poop their pants? I don't know, but let's see and find out. And I don't really understand the premise of sending them into space. I guess they had been to space before. Were they stopping a meteor? Was this essentially another version of Armageddon where they had to stop a meteor at a certain point, like drive a, you know, shuttle into it, blow it up? Pretty incredible that Deep Impact and Armageddon came out in the exact same summer. I mean, let's get more original Hollywood. But I guess that was back when Hollywood was considered original and not just making remakes all the time. Hubie Davis, I feel bad for him today. Head coach of North Carolina. Because this is going to be a tough look for him going forward. Tracy Wolfson had an interview with him as he stepped back on the court with his Tar Heels up 40-25 on Kansas, looking really, really good. And Hubie was super amped up. Here's Hubie Davis.
Coach, how would you assess what you've seen?
Pretty fun game, isn't it? We're competing out there. It's live action, Tracy. It's live action out there. I thought we were nervous at the beginning. Then we started to settle in. We got better defensively. Now we're attacking the basket. We're ready to go.
Are you okay with how Bacon is right now?
He's doing terrific. I'm so proud of him. I told you, 52%. Him on the floor is good news for Carolina basketball.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Oh, boy. I mean, you got 20 more minutes to last, man. You ever seen the movie Along Came Polly? And there's that scene where Ben Stiller's trying to, you know, keep going and going and going. He's counting in his head. Maybe Huey Davis should have done that. Think about baseball cards. Think about grandma. Think about something horrible. I mean, this is premature celebration at its absolute worst. The game was far from over. And even worse, Kansas goes on a 12-1 run to start the second half. you got to call a timeout at some point. It was an interesting finish to the game, too, where, first off, Kansas has the ball underneath their own basket. Excuse me, underneath the UNC basket. It's that dude with the beard, beard face, the guy who's shooting all the threes. I refuse to remember his name because I don't care. He passes the ball out to the wing, and it goes out of bounds. And you're like, oh, man, like, why didn't you try to go right back up with it? There was still some time left. Man, you might have just thrown the game out of bounds. But then Kansas inbounds, and they step out of bounds ever so slightly, and they gave UNC another chance. So it was a pretty chaotic end of the game, but the last shot, UNC took it, and they just missed. And it's a shame because the game did have a stretch towards the very end where everyone was taking ridiculous shots and making them. Felt like everyone was taking them off balance from outside. And it really was, I thought, an outstanding basketball game considering how bad the first half was. Like, I remember in the first half watching it at Port Swing Pub with some of my buddies, thinking to myself, oh, man, well, considering it has such a late start time, maybe I can just go to bed. Now let's pause for a moment. What the hell was up with the 8:20 tip-off? 8:20? So 9:20 East Coast time? Why are we starting that late? That's late. And I was wondering, okay, well, what's the purpose? Maybe this is for the West Coast audience, but the West Coast doesn't really care that much about college basketball. They don't. You have some UCLA fans, I guess Oregon from time to time. UW stinks. You know, like those are the premier programs out there. Gonzaga's good, but that's a very small fan base that they have in Washington. I lived there. It's not very big. Why do you have it so late? Do you really need to accommodate all those people on the left coast? No, you don't. You don't need to do that. You don't need to accommodate Mountain Time. There's like two cities in all of Mountain Time. It's like Denver and what, Salt Lake City? That's it. You don't need to accommodate them. Get out of here with that. Is Phoenix in there, maybe? I don't know. Whatever the case, I thought it was nuts that the game started as late as it did. And actually, you know, I had a nice little back and forth with old Vandy, who was saying, like, if you're a kid or an old person, this was tough for you. And I remember thinking to myself, when I was just 7 years old, my favorite team, the Patriots, played in their first ever Super Bowl that I'd seen in my lifetime. And I was a diehard psychotic fan. They're up 14-10 at the end of the first quarter. My mom says, all right, it's time to go to bed. So I didn't get to watch the entirety of that game. Who knows? Like, what if the Patriots had never gone back to that game? Because the Super Bowl started late, but that Super Bowl started, like, it ended probably like 10, 11 o'clock or something like that, East Coast time. But imagine you're a young kid and you don't get to watch the second half of that. Or you're just an old person or older person like myself and you just don't want to stay up that late. That was an unfair start time. I didn't like it. Not one bit. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. That is how you text in. Best comeback in sports history. Astros Braves 18-inning game in the 2005 NLDS was a pretty cool comeback game. The Astros were down like 6-1 for most of the game until they tied it in the ninth. I remember this. I think I actually watched this with some relatives of mine who are from Houston who were visiting me when I was living in Florida at the time. That is a great callback. Everyone's bringing up, you know, the Oilers against the Bills. I don't think you have to bring Ocho texted, the best comeback has to be the Chiefs on the Bills with 13 seconds left, down three. That was an incredible comeback. You know, I got to think to myself, too. I got to think to myself, what the hell does that even mean? That was an incredible filibuster while I'm trying to think of something to say, huh? Jeez. But there were so many back and forths in Game 5 of the 2017 World Series. Do we consider any of those comebacks? I forget it off the top of my head because there was so much scoring, and that day was just a long bleeping day. I'm actually going to go back and refresh myself on that now that we're thinking about some of the Astros comebacks in the break. But what's the best sports comeback in sports history? Sports comeback in sports history. Could talk about comebacks in history, too. You know? Could talk about, like, wars that have been blown and stuff. How about France coming back with the Allies in World War II? I'm just kidding. 713-780-ESPN. It's just me, Paul Gallant. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her family. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Best comebacks in sports history. Plus, up next, we're reading the draft tea leaves, and I think we have a feeling as far as another team that might be willing to trade up to where the Texans are to get themselves a quarterback. And I like something that they are trying to do. I'll tell you what it is next, right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Only half of Badge Nation here today. Vanessa Richardson up in Indianapolis with her family. We're wishing her the best, hoping the best for her dad and everyone else. I think that she would have appreciated this text as we have asked the question today, best comeback in sports history. And I can just imagine her looking at me right now and cackling. It's from Robert in the Ball. January 21st, 2007. The Patriots led the Colts 21-6 in the AFC Championship game. You know the rest. No, I don't. Blocked it out. Don't remember. I actually do remember. I threw a temper tantrum. Grabbed an ottoman, threw it, woke up my parents. I said, yep, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with whatever punishment's coming tomorrow. They had gone to bed already. I was pissed. I can't believe they blew that. Though I can, because that team was a 4 seed and they did not have any business making it that far in the playoffs, as it was because they beat the San Diego Chargers in one of the worst choke jobs I can remember by a team that was probably the most talented team before the 2007 Patriots of that decade. 14-2. I mean, you got Rivers, you got Tomlinson playing at the top of his game, and they had the game-winning interception, Marlon McCree, and he just pukes it up when Troy Brown, a wide receiver for the Patriots, comes in from behind. Knocks it out, and the rest is history. Patriots go on to win. Tom Brady's legacy continues. I'm saying this now, as far as the best comebacks in sports history, we are not recognizing the Oilers' 35-3 loss to the Bills as an Oilers loss anymore. Or check that. It's an Oilers loss, but it's a Tennessee Oilers loss, because that franchise plays in Tennessee. Their history is in Tennessee. It didn't happen here. If they're going to, you know, force all these poor athletes living in Houston who were appreciated in Houston to go up to Nashville. Sounds terrible. I'm just kidding. I hear Nashville's great. To be honored at halftime? I mean, well, then fine. They also have to honor the fact that they blew a 35-3 lead, much like they've blown having the 1 seed in the AFC a couple of times, much like they also lost a Super Bowl by 1 yard. Paul, the Texans haven't even been to an AFC championship game. Shut up! You don't know me. You're not my real dad. Speaking of dads, will Nick Caserio be the daddy of the 2022 NFL draft? Rate that transition, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. The face that you're giving me says probably C- at best.
Yeah, C-.
Thank you.
C's generous. Get degrees, but C's, not much more than that.
D's get degrees, too. It probably was a D. Let's be perfectly honest.
Whatever the lowest possible passing grade is.
Okay, good. That's all we go for here. We strive for just enough to keep paying the bills. The Texans are at the third spot in the NFL draft. They also have picked 13. But the Saints are slowly creeping up the NFL draft board. That's because they traded for 2 of the Philadelphia Eagles picks in this year's draft. And I think that means that they want to go further. So they yesterday traded for picks 16 and 19 from Philadelphia, giving up their 18th pick this year, a third round pick this year, a 7th round pick this year, plus a 1st round pick next year, and a 2024 2nd round pick to do so. So New Orleans gets more capital this year to get a player that maybe they feel like can contribute now on one hand, or they have more capital to continue to trade up the draft board and potentially to take a quarterback. Say they like someone like Malik Willis. And by the way, Malik Willis has met with the Saints along with the Steelers, the Giants, the Titans. He is going to meet with the Panthers and Falcons as well. So they might be interested, New Orleans, in Malik Willis, and we'll see how far he falls. Not sure on the Kenny Pickett front, but I do think that it would be interesting to see if Matt Rhule would take a swing on Kenny Pickett, given that Matt Rhule recruited Kenny Pickett coming out of Temple when Matt Rhule was the head coach of the Temple Owls. I know that we all once thought that Bill O'Brien might draft Christian Hackenberg for those same reasons, because O'Brien worked with Hackenberg at Penn State. That didn't happen, but maybe that's a possibility. But whatever the case, the Eagles, they get some more draft picks for the future. Now they have 5 firsts and 4 seconds the next 3 years. And the Saints, again, more capital for the short term to either draft the player now or to trade up And on top of that, think about it from this perspective, too. The Saints, they might get some of those draft picks that they've traded away back because why? Because Sean Payton's going to get traded at some point, too. Does anyone really buy that Sean Payton's going to be long for the world of broadcasting? I think he took a year off, gets to sit back, enjoy himself, and that he'll be back in the world of coaching not too long afterwards. And the Saints will probably be getting a first-round pick or two from the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for him when he replaces Mike McCarthy. So it was a foregone conclusion at this point, right? They've tried to get Sean Payton before. They'll give Mike McCarthy 2 years. The good old scouts try. Is that a thing? I don't know. I forget what the term is. College try? That's it. Thank you. Scouts. I don't know why I said scouts try. What would scouts try to do? Light a fire? I don't know. Tie a knot? Win a merit badge? Sell cookies? I can't say. 713-780-3776. What do scouts do? But if I'm Nick Caserio, I am already on the phone and I'm making cold calls. Looked online, tried to find the keys to making a cold call, write an outline of what you have to say, 1 to 2 hours to go through a call list, calculate how many calls you need to hit to make your goal, prepare a strong opening sentence. Okay, well, I mean, if the New Orleans Saints look like they're going to continue to trade up, and if I'm the Texans, I want their draft picks. I would like to have as many first-round picks as possible. Yeah, you might be able to find a unbelievably impactful player with this third overall pick, but I think there's a pretty good chance that next year you're going to be drafting in the top 10, just given the lack of talent on this roster. So what's the harm in trading for a pick down the road, multiple picks down the road? Do you want more picks to swing at if you're Nick Caserio going forward every single year to have the ability to acquire some top-of-the-line young talent and have that player under team control for up to 5 years? You got to think about it. If I'm Nick Caserio, I am definitely calling, first off, the Jets, but also the New York Giants. I can't believe that the Giants are really rolling into next year with Daniel Jones. And since they do have two first-round picks, two top-10 picks, they are a team that I feel like the Texans should be thinking about trading back with. The Jets have pick number 4, but what happens if some team decides to trade for the Jets pick? If I'm the Texans, I'm telling the Giants, I'm telling any team, look, the Jets might trade out of that spot. They already themselves have two top-10 first-round picks. You need to get pick number 3 if you want to find your guy. You need pick number 3. And maybe Detroit gets in on the action too, and I think Detroit would be in their best interest too, seeing as they don't have two first-round picks this year to potentially... do they? Do they have it from Rams? Yes, they do. They have the 32nd pick. I forgot about that because of the whole Matt Stafford trade. But if you're the Lions, I mean, you're about as depleted of talent as the Texans are. You're probably making some calls. But if I'm the Texans, I'm calling the Jets. I'm calling the Giants. I'm calling the Panthers, who I know need a quarterback. And I know if I'm Matt Rhule, I got to find that guy. I don't want anyone swooping up in front of me. And you really don't have that much to give up, I guess, if you are the Panthers. But, like, you're not going into next year with Sam Darnold. I guess this is the one-year anniversary of the Sam Darnold trade today. Yikes. I'm calling the Falcons at pick number 8. I am calling the Commanders at pick number 11. I might make some reference to the fact that they're a joke of an organization and that drafting a quarterback will make people forget about that. I'm calling the Vikings. Did you check your mentions as I do this cold call and I'm Nick Caserio? Did you check your mentions to Kirk Cousins announcing that he is sticking around, that you restructured his contract? Did you see how many borderline suicidal Vikings fans are out there? Seriously, they were so pissed when you made that move. They hate Kirk Cousins. You got to drop the young guy if you're the Vikings. If you're the Eagles, really? Jalen Hurts? Really? Like that one, I don't get that one. I do not get that one. I know he played here. We watched him play. Great runner. Seems to have great leadership in the locker room. Guy does not throw the football down the field. They should think to themselves they can do better than Jalen Hurts, who I think will have a good career. But I think Jalen Hurts is like a souped-up version of Tim Tebow, a souped-up version of Taysom Hill. I think he's a little slow when it comes to making decisions downfield and as far as anticipation, too. Not really feeling it to this point. Maybe he proves me wrong. Seems like he's got all of the things as far as character traits that would help him prove me wrong. Would like to see it. Seems like a nice guy. I know he's from here, too. But if I'm the Texans, I'm calling them. I'm calling the Saints. I'm calling everybody that I possibly can to say, hey, look, we have pick three. You want a guy, trade into that spot. We also say that doesn't happen. Say quarterbacks slide in the draft. We have pick 13. Who do you want? Do you want one of these quarterbacks? One last side note on the Texans, because I know Texans conversation gets a little tiresome from time to time, especially this time of year. I don't want to bog you down in too much draft conversation. I think Lance Erline's going to do a much better job with you than that, for you than I can. I know in the coming weeks I'm going to be watching a lot of Davis Mills and trying to determine whether or not I actually want to go into next season with him as the starting quarterback. But the Texans did do something fairly interesting. They picked up Marlon Mack. They signed him. So Marlon Mack played very well in 2018. He nearly had 5 yards of carry in his first season. So that was 2018. And he was part of this Colts stable of running backs. Nyheim Hines was in it as well, that had a lot of different guys to go through, to work with. He ran for 1,091 yards in 2019 too. But then the Colts drafted Jonathan Taylor, and he tore his Achilles in week one of 2020. 5 carries for 16 yards with Indianapolis last year. This is a guy that you don't necessarily expect to ever be the same player again. But given the way Deontay Foreman looked last year with Tennessee, is it the craziest idea in the world to take a flyer on a guy who tore his Achilles 2 years ago? And, you know, with some of the things that they're doing, they signed a fullback. They signed Andy Janovich, which sounds like a fullback kind of name. Smash Mouth is, I guess, going to be the Pep Hamilton way. And if you want to have a team that isn't a serious contender this coming season, but is an actually watchable product that might win the occasional game, 5 wins, 6 wins, or something like that. And I hate the idea of tanking. I think it's immoral. I think it's wrong. It's gross. It ferments loser juice, where you have the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons just blowing it in big-time spots all the time. I think you need to teach a team that they need to win and that losing is not going to be accepted because it's going to get you better draft picks. But I think in this situation with the Texans, if you actually want to win some games this coming year, to go against the grain, to go against all the 11 personnel out there with 3 wide receiver sets, is to go just embrace being a extreme power running team with tight end play. And I guess that's what Pep Hamilton likes. He likes running backs. And I would like to have someone better than Marlon Mack. But if you get a Marlon Mack in the mix, you get an Andy Janovich as a fullback. I feel like this could be a pretty interesting offense next season, and that they will be different from all of these vaunted pass attacks. And that could actually win you some games if you slow it down. That worked for Philadelphia last year. That was not a good Philadelphia team. The year before that, they weren't good. Nick Sirianni is their head coach. Who was expecting them to make the playoffs this season? But they ran the ball a ton down the stretch last season, and they found themselves in there. I'm not saying the Texans are going to do that. I'm just saying I like the idea of running the football. It works if you don't have a quarterback, that's for sure. I'm Paul Gallant, and also the Texans couldn't run it at all last year. So, again, uphill battle. Vanessa and Gallant. No, Vanessa, she's up in Indianapolis with her family. We're praying for her. We're praying for her dad. Up next, 713-780-3776. Continuing to take your texts, your tweets, at Gallant says about the best comeback in sports history. We saw Tiger Woods yesterday at Augusta. How did he look? And I've got a question for people that go to Augusta, not during the actual Masters itself. Why are you going to Augusta to watch a practice round? Is it worth it? Serious question. We'll talk about that next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No, Vanessa, she's up in Indianapolis with her family. Wishing her the absolute best. 713-780-3776 is how you text, and you can also tweet in at Gallant Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. The question of today's show, since Kansas just came back for the biggest comeback in NCAA title game history, down 16 at one point, down 15 at halftime, rallying with a explosion early on in the second half to beat North Carolina 72-69 for Bill Self's second national title. What's the best comeback in sports history? One texter from the 346. Watson from nearly in jail to fattest contract ever. I kind of want to play Batman music in the background to get some vigilante justice, perhaps. You know? You play that, like, bop, 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 bop theme as Batman slowly comes out of the darkness. Deshaun Watson thinks he's fine leaving a parlor, thinking to himself that he's just gotten away with the crime of the century, allegedly. Or just gotten away with stealing the most money in NFL history from a desperate team. He thinks he's fine walking the streets of Cleveland. It's cold. It's rainy. All of a sudden, the lights go out around him. Bah, 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 bah. And then there goes the Pattinson. Robert Pattinson comes out of nowhere and assaults him. Would that be justice? I can't say, because this is a fantasy that took place in my mind just now. 713-780-3776. Best comeback in sports history. 2010, Auburn down 24 right before halftime with Cam Newton, right? And that team didn't have a lot of guys. They came back to beat Alabama 28-27 to keep their national title hopes alive. Yeah, that one was something else. And it's crazy how well that Auburn team did, considering I don't think they had many other players make it to the NFL from that team.
I think Cam Newton and Nick Fairley are the only two NFL players on that team.
Nick Fairley, Sean Mapes behind the glass, you're right, who was supposed to be better than he ultimately ended up being. I have to flagellate myself also right now. This text from the, let me put my binder together, going to zip it. From the 832, best comeback, Rockets being down 0-2 and 3-1 in back-to-back NBA titles. Blasphemy that the Dreams Rockets haven't been mentioned. Okay, we're going to try not to break my face here, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, where you can watch me commit violence upon myself. How about that? I didn't break anything, did I? No. Okay, good. Tiger Woods, it looks like, is going to be playing at Augusta starting on Thursday. And here is what he had to say to ESPN about how he's feeling and his expectations.
Well, as of right now, I feel like I am going to play. As of right now, I'm going to play 9 more holes tomorrow. My recovery has been good. I've been very excited about how I've recovered each and every day, and that's been the challenge. That's why I came up here and tested out for 27 holes, because we played the par 3 course. Charlie couldn't help himself. So was able to play 27 holes that day, and at home testing it. But it's the recovery. You know, how am I going to get all the, you know, swelling out and recover for the next day? And my team has been fantastic and worked very hard. So we've got another day of 9 more holes, and then come game time.
He's got to be playing if he's playing all of these holes leading up to it. I mean, like extra practice rounds going into it. And I guess I just saw on TV, Tiger's plus 110 to make the first cut. And he's made, I guess, 21 consecutive cuts at the Masters, which is just preposterous. I mean, let's not forget, like, this actually, we're talking about comebacks in sports. Considering the accident that he got in, imagine Tiger Woods having, like, two comebacks in the course of his career. Like, that's not fair, right? I mean, the first time, I guess, it doesn't really count, seeing as, you know, he was having sex with anything that walked and his wife came after him. So it was more like a comeback from disgrace. But he also came back from injury. And the guy's been banged up a lot. Like, for a golfer, the guy's body's probably been through just as many car crashes as most NFL players. Like, literally, obviously. But, you know, we're just looking at him. This is a guy that has suffered, what, back injuries, knee injuries. How many injuries are we talking about over the course of his career? It's crazy. And he's come back, he's bounced back, and he's been damn good when he's bounced back. Oof. I have a question, though. I saw the warm-up rounds, the practice rounds. There's a photo of Tiger Woods. And I don't know what hole this is, but there's the fairway. And on either side, you have a ton of people. So people are already there for the Masters, and I'm not sure how Masters tickets work. I would assume that Masters tickets are you buy it for the entire weekend kind of thing. I don't know if you buy it for the whole week, but would you really want to go to watch a practice round? I mean, I get it. You're at Augusta technically, but you're not really there. Maybe you're going to come home and you're going to pretend like you were there. you could buy some sort of Masters themed regalia.
Yeah, I'm sure the gift shop's still open. You can buy a hat.
Yeah, but you could, I mean, let's be honest, you can buy knockoff stuff like that, right? Someone going to arrest you for having a knockoff Masters thing? Is that stolen
maybe.
Valor?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the rules at Augusta are. They have some pretty crazy rules.
They do. I mean, you can't have your cell phone, Sean, the entire time. I guess Brendan Riley was talking about this yesterday on the Killer Bees about how, yeah, he wouldn't want to go to the Masters. There was a curiosity factor where I would, I mean, as a bucket list sporting event, it's so different. But the way that it's talked about is this, oh, it's so majestic. Oh, it's so amazing. I don't know, man. I'm not going to have my cell phone for 4 days. I don't know. First off. Second, you hear about the food that they have there. It would be one thing if they are walking around after I spend God knows how much money on the tickets for the Masters, hotel rooms in Augusta, which I imagine there aren't many of. On top of this, I would hope that I'm going to get the finest of everything. And we constantly hear about these $1 pimento cheese sandwiches. What? Grilled cheese? Like it's a delicacy? Are we 5 years old? Grilled cheese is the laziest food ever. And look, I'm not a cheese guy, so maybe I'm the wrong person to ask here, but do you really want to eat like 4 or 5 of those for $1 over the course of a round of golf and then have explosive visits to the toilet, if you will, later? Like, pimento cheese, ugh, that sounds disgusting if you're eating a bunch of those. But it's $1, Paul. But you're at the Masters. You should be having, like, caviar. There should be filet mignon on a stick that's handed out to you. And instead, pimento cheese sandwiches. What? Lame. Let's step our game up here, Masters. Because I'm not going to have my cell phone for 4 days. But the majesty, Paul, the glory of the hole. I'm not that big of a golf fan. I'll fully admit it. I'm casual. I watch the majors, and I don't even watch all of them. I'm not even sure how much of the Masters I will watch on Thursday. I'll probably watch a little bit on Friday. One of the perks of doing this show is that I definitely can watch a lot of the Masters on both Thursday and Friday. But am I going to go out of my way to watch it? I'm much more likely to watch the entirety of the Boston Celtics on a back-to-back against the Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday than I am to watch the Masters. I'm going to be perfectly honest on that front. And if I were to go to the Masters, I don't, I just don't. It's something I want to do, but it's not something I'm like gung-ho about wanting to do. And I know it's going to be controversial. I'm sure there's people texting in right now. Pah, you savage. Well, yeah, I'd rather go to the Waste Management Open. I'm sorry. I'm a drunk, allegedly. I mean, my voice allergies, yeah, partying maybe too. Who knows? I'd much rather go to the Waste Management Open. The Masters just not really my thing. Especially if that's all they're offering for food. I mean, what kind of brews are they going to have there? Am I going to have to pay like $10 for Bud Light or something? Nothing against Bud Light. I mean, I prefer Miller Lite. But, you know, if I'm out there, I would like everything to be $1. $1 Miller Lights, I'd go. $1 pimento cheese sandwich, shut the front door.
I have some other sandwiches.
More sandwiches? Okay.
Yes, a $3 barbecue sandwich.
But it's not Texas barbecue.
No, but there's a some sort of club for $2.50. They have some turkey and cheese on wheat.
I don't want the cheese. Okay, am I going to be able to customize this sandwich?
Grilled chicken wrap. $3, expensive things, grilled chicken wrap.
Well, that's actually not bad, grilled chicken wrap for $3. That's not bad. The pimento cheese sandwich just sounds like it's a salt on my stomach. Like I'm just imagining how bad it's going to be.
So all these prices are very low, which only leads me to believe that it costs like an arm and a leg to just get in here. Because the coffee, all the breakfast stuff is $1. Beverages, they're all about $1. Domestic beer, $2.75.
Oh, really?
Import, $3.50.
Okay, you know what? Okay, now we're talking. now we're talking my language here. A couple of texts. And look, I'm speaking entirely from ignorance. And I'm asking you, like, would you want to go for a practice round? Because there's a ton of people there, like, watching Tiger Woods. I would say on that fairway, it looked like there were probably at least 500 people, if not more. And I don't even know who was out on the green. Texter says, from the 409, I went in 05 and 06. I got autographs from everyone except Tiger and Phil. That's pretty awesome. They take photos with you. That's pretty cool. Well, how do you get the photos? Because your cell phone, they take your cell phone away, right?
Maybe it's set up like a photo booth. Or not okay. Photo booth, but you know, the where you walk up meet and greet style.
The town is flooded with people from everywhere. It's a party. What's the bar scene like in Augusta? 713.
How far is it from Atlanta?
Another good question, Sean Mapes behind the glass. These are things that we'll try to figure out. Another texter, Masters tickets are cheap. Oh, interesting. But if you try to sell them, you will get banned for life. I learned this the hard way, selling practice round tickets because I couldn't make it. Oh. Damn. So, buying Masters tickets, if you buy it from a third party, it's stolen valor. Damn.
And there's some sort of blood contract where if you buy tickets, you're in it for life.
Whoa, Sean, I didn't know that. Like, yeah. It's like the Skull and Bones all of a sudden. Is there a meeting? Like, you know the meeting that Happy Gilmore was supposed to have on, what was it, the 17th green at 9:30? Is it the same thing where they have, like, ritualistic sacrifice or something like that? Damn. Like, so, see, that's interesting to me. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm that interested here. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You could also tweet me, at Gallant Says, if you would be willing to go to the Masters. We're also talking about the best comebacks in sports history. Up next, boy, this is a really bad look for my former rival of the Houston Astros in not one league, but two. You'll hear it next right here. Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis. We're wishing her the best, her family the best. 713-780-ESPN again. Paul, go on here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Just Paul today. Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family, thinking about her family, and hopefully we'll have her back soon. I always think about things that I do on the air that are poorly executed, and I can't help but think, the last commercial break, I'm pretty sure I said ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 a good six times in 1 minute. Could be wrong on that. Maybe we'll check the tape to find out. Or maybe we'll just move on and pretend that we are a broadcast professional. We have been talking about sports comebacks today. Tiger Woods could be on the verge of making a second comeback in golf. This time not from disgrace. This time from just being in a car accident, breaking his leg. Not Santa tweets in, who cares about his golf game? Has his sex game recovered? Excuse me, Not Santa. We are a family program. We do not talk about things like this. Instead, we talk about how much alcohol costs at the Masters. For family. I don't think I'll ever go. I want to. I don't think I'll ever go. It's generally around my birthday. I'm just not the biggest golf fan. You know, I think I'll try at some point in my life, but I don't think I would go to the entirety of it. 4 days? That's too much. Like two? Okay. Final round? Hell yeah. Four? Ugh.
I also can't imagine traveling to do it. Like, you travel, then you have to drive from Atlanta, because I imagine you flying to Atlanta, drive to Augusta.
How far away is it?
It's a 2.5-hour drive.
Oh, that sucks.
Maybe there's an airport. I'm guessing there's some sort of airport in Augusta.
I'm not flying to that. No.
Yeah, it's something where it's like, if I lived in Georgia, maybe I'd do it, but I'm not going to, because now you're talking about an entire week of going over there and then watching all this golf, which I, like you, not the biggest golf guy. I'll watch. I've been to golf tournaments before, had a good time, but it's not something that I'm dying to do again.
If I'm Granado, if I'm Lance,
Granado gets
Sean
invited.
Mapes behind the glass. Like, you know what? You're right. Damn it. What a life. The guy just gets invited. But, you know, if I'm making the big bucks, like the morning show guys. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going.
But noted man of the people, Paul Gallant, who was not at all spoiled, who never went to private schools like Thayer Academy or Shorecrest Preparatory School or Syracuse University, who never went to a public school a day in his life. I mean, it's just different for me. You know, man of the people, salt of the earth. Masters, not my thing. Waste Management Open.
Yeah, a little too hoity-toity.
Oh, yeah. All these cake eaters here, Sean Mapes. Oh, wow. Am I supposed to bring a butler, too? Do I have to pay for his airfare? The hell? Although that would actually help out. And, you know, John, Lance, they know this. Like, if you have a butler to drive you the 2.5 hours, it's a little different. They have butlers, allegedly. I'm making that up on the fly right now. This story sucks. No other way to say it. Albert Pujols was a pain in the ass for the Astros when he was with the Cardinals. He was a pain in the ass for the Astros when he was with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States of America, of North America, formerly of Pangea. And this story is, I hate like diving in on people's family business, but Albert Pujols announced yesterday that he and his wife are splitting up. Just a couple of days after she underwent successful surgery to remove a brain tumor. Said Pujols, "I have been asked a lot of questions over the past few days, what's been going on at home." Well, yeah, your wife just had surgery to remove a brain tumor. And sadly, after 22 years of marriage, I've made the decision to file for divorce from my wife. I realize this is not the most opportune time with opening day approaching. Jesus Christ. Christ, that's the first thing he wrote? I just read this statement for the first time. Are you bleeping kidding me?
He also, there's also a news story of when his wife, before they filed for divorce, was getting the surgery. It was in the middle of a spring training game that Albert Pujols was playing in.
And he didn't leave the game?
No, he got a base hit.
Well, he plays through distractions.
Played well.
Sean Mapes, this is incredible. The first thing he said, I realize this is not the most opportune time.
Uh-huh.
With opening day approaching. Actually, it seems like for someone trying to be a bachelor again, literally the most appropriate time. If you're like looking to get some sex going forward or something like that, that is messed up. And other family events that have recently taken place, the statement continues, unbelievable.
So opening day, number one. Other stuff, including brain surgery, number two.
I got to say, he's a scumbag. Like, that's, it's one thing to do it, and like maybe there are extenuating circumstances that explain it. But the way that you outlined that, like the surgery took place during a spring training game that he played in. And then this is not the most opportune time with opening day approaching. Holy crap, man. I mean, this is about as tone deaf as it goes. Oh, my God. The statement continues. Oh, my God. I can't. Should I keep reading this? Look, marriage is hard and all. I give people a lot of credit who make it last. My parents didn't last, but good God. As a devout Christian, this is an outcome that I never wanted to see happen. For many long days and nights, I prayed, asking the Lord for his guidance. Oh, boy. I ask that you please respect our privacy. How can I? That statement's so terrible. I got to move. I got to move on from this. This legitimately is gross. 713-780-3776. We have been asking what's the best comeback in sports all day today, but I did have some questions about the Masters, and Will wants to call in. 713-780-3776. Will, what's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I went to a practice round. I've never been to an actual competitive round, but we went to the practice round in 2013, which I know has been a while.
Was it a good time?
We actually flew into Columbus. I'm sorry?
Did you have a good time at the practice round? Was it like, did people tell you that this was about as close to the actual event as it gets?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I've been to a lot of golf tournaments, and the practice rounds there are pretty crowded. Now, I know they do something like, I think it's 180,000 people during the actual tournament, and the practice round's probably half of that.
Oh, damn. That's still a lot. Wow, that's surprising.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of people, but during the practice round, they all tend to congregate around the popular holes like 12, 16, 15, 13. So it's a good opportunity to get out, you know, walk the course, get back on some other holes like 3 and 4 where people don't really go a lot.
Okay.
So if you, yeah, and we actually flew into Columbia, South Carolina, and it cuts an hour off the drive. It's about an hour and a half.
There you go. Did you have to connect anywhere?
Yeah,
are there a lot of flights that go in there?
Yeah, so I was living in Miami at the time, so we got a direct flight. But from Houston, yeah, Houston, you'd have to connect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Will, this is fantastic information, and appreciate it, man. You have yourself a wonderful day. 713-780-3776 to call, and you can text in, too. Okay. Yeah, Columbia. I've never been to Columbia, South Carolina. I've only been to Charleston. I went to Charleston this past fall. Charleston's awesome. Oh, my goodness. But Charleston would probably be quite the drive away from there. Texter says, I think you can buy tickets for the full weekend, but most people buy single-day tickets for the Masters. Okay, that makes a lot more sense, too. That makes way more sense. Because, yeah, this seems like it would totally price out, you know, blue-collar people like me. You know, I go to work every day, and, you know, I speak for a living. You know, it's a grind. The 2 hours of work I have every single day, you know? Not a lot of people are tough like me. Not a lot of people can do it. Not a lot of people show up like me and, you know, just talk out of their butt. I mean, give hot, informed sports takes the way that I can.
You got calluses all over your throat.
Right now, so calloused up, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass for today's edition of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. Again, Vanessa's up in Indianapolis. We're wishing her the best. Do stay tuned all day long to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't forget, this is now the home of the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. So their first game is later on tonight. Make sure you're tuned in for that. I think it's 8:25. First pitch. Coming up next, you've got the Killer Bees with Joel Blank, with Jeremy Branham, Brendan Riley behind the glass. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday.
ESPN 97.5. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.